The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, October the 3rd, if you're watching on YouTube, as we recap the 49ers and Rams, a stinker of a division game, but a very interesting one for long-term purposes on Monday night. Joining me to break it down, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. Hello, friends.
Stinker for the Rams, not a stinker for Jimmy Garoppolo's legacy in the 49ers. By the way, Breach, Kyle Shanahan is 7-1 against your boy, Sean McVay. Any thoughts on that as you wear that Miami shirt, repping in the wrong direction?
Well, you know what? My thought is that one win was in the NFC title game, the only one that really mattered. And because of that, the Rams won a Super Bowl, and Brinson's boy Stafford is now bound for the Hall of Fame. So it is win, win for Brinson, and lose for
Richard Sherman says otherwise.
Is Richard Sherman bringing that old? Is he trying to dive back into this again?
He's taking the Wilson talking points right off my little...
He and I got into it about Stafford in the Hall of Fame before, like last year. It's whatever.
You and he got into it. I don't think he's bringing it
back up. Back and forth about it for like 3 hours on Twitter. First of all, I picked the Niners to win the division. So if anybody's saying this is stinking for me, whatever. I mean, it was not a thrilling game. I don't think. I mean, there were a couple good
Garoppolo plays. Played like crap last week. He played really well tonight. I think that's an important takeaway. I'm not buying that fool's goal. And by the way, you can't have it both ways. You will, because that's what you do. But you were leaning so hard into Matthew Stafford and was angry at anyone who said anything bad about his Hall of Fame chances, and now you're all in on the 49ers. That doesn't rewrite history.
The 49ers to win the Super Bowl last year.
Go ahead, Breach.
Well, real quick, before we say Jimmy Garoppolo played well, it really felt like Kyle Shanahan
played well.
Kyle Shanahan went home after the Broncos game and said, all right, I am going to draw up a game plan that does not involve Jimmy Garoppolo throwing the ball downfield more than 5 yards, and we are going to win with that game plan. And that's what they did, because I think Jimmy Garoppolo had 2 passes the entire game that went more than 10 yards downfield. Everything else was a wide receiver screen that he couldn't botch or mess up. And so, yes, he did look good. But
you say about Matthew Stafford threw a screen for a pick six. So,
True.
That's not entirely fair to Jimmy G. And the fact that I'm defending Jimmy G tells us all we need to know. He made a good throw in the middle of the field that I think it was to Kelsey. I can't remember, but Troy Aikman spent some time talking about it. And then he threw a touchdown pass to Kelsey to George Kittle. And then he threw a touchdown pass to George Kittle, where George Kittle decided to step out of bounds. That was a really good throw as well. So. I get it. Kyle Shanahan did the right thing in minimizing the opportunities for Garoppolo to do what he usually does.
To be clear, that I do think Garoppolo played well. I'm just not sure that Kyle Shanahan fully trusts him.
And also, to be clear, I'm not buying this nonsense. I expect next week he'll throw 3 or 4 interceptions or have at least 3 or 4 interception-worthy plays. I ain't leaning in on Jimmy Garoppolo, but I thought he bounced back nicely. By the way, we didn't talk about this because no opportunity, I suppose, but did you see last week where the lip readers saw Jimmy G coming off the field saying, these plays suck. And then Kyle was asked about it, and Kyle said, I don't know and I don't care. And Jimmy said, I can't remember what I say when I get angry.
I thought after watching it a couple times that he said draw plays suck. As in,
it
like,
doesn't matter. The point is, he was indicating that the guy calling the play sucks.
But also, he didn't deny it. He could have said, I didn't say that, but no,
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
And Kyle Shanahan, he said, he's like, I don't watch that stuff. Like why would I watch that? He's like, you guys are making a big deal out of nothing. He's like, I mean, I don't like whatever he said. Like, whatever things suck. I don't know what he said. I couldn't exactly read his lips. It was like, you just admitted that you did watch it, even though you said you didn't watch it. And clear, but like, yeah, it was a good point, Wilson. I forgot about that.
The other thing is that I don't care about that sort of stuff, because for hundreds of years there have been games played across all sports where the player has yelled at the coach under his breath, and no one's known any better. Like, for example,
and not
Mahomes the enemy.
Who?
Patrick Mahomes and Eric.
Oh, no, no, but I'm saying before, like, you know, high school games or college games, yeah, no one watched. Like, forever.
Marcus Peters and John Harbaugh.
Marcus Peters and Jimmy Lake.
Tack McKinley and Justin Hollins tonight. That was fun. After Tack McKinley tried to tackle that guy.
Brady, Josh Daniels.
By the way, how awesome was that Breach was in the stadium, Levi Stadium, doing the gender reveal, got tackled by a Bobby Wagner. That was fantastic.
Finger licking good special.
Breach got the Cowboys playmaker treatment.
Congrats, Breach. That's exciting.
I wonder if that is going to stop people from running on the field. When you take a helmet shot to the head from an NFL linebacker, that's if they're so. Like, hey, man, can you run the field?
You know what's going to keep people running on the field? Alcohol.
what do we find out what it said on that idiot shirt that was as he was running across the field?
It was a protest. That's like the third or fourth time.
Was it legitimately not a gender reveal?
No, it was not a gender reveal. I know. Sadly, Wilson was thinking he was like online looking for a baby shower gift. Had the baby shower gift ready, and nope, not happening. Wilson.
Just I'm a dummy.
Babe, it's a girl, and your dad's in jail.
That guy is headed to the slammer, and it will not be a good night.
True that. Kevin Harlan on the radio call.
Are they going to take away my roadcaster and just give it to Billy?
I told Billy before the show. I was like, oh, thank God. One less thing Brinson can get distracted by. You know what else Billy said? As we're going to extend this thing well beyond what Billy wants it to be. He goes, yeah, when you and Brinson go at it, Breach tends not to get involved. I said, because Breach isn't paying attention. He's off doing some serial killer stuff, and then he tunes back in five minutes.
Like, you know what's odd is there were 72 field goals this weekend.
And I'm letting the alley cats fight. That's what I'm doing. And then when they take each other out, I take over the alley. Come
is
on.
Is this a Disney cartoon? What are you talking about?
Learn about feral cats, and you'll know who's king.
That's exactly
I'm not going to be learning about feral cats. to your original point, though, about the Jimmy G thing, I do wonder, it is a little weird. So, I mean, Jimmy G's been on the team for a long time. Kyle Shanahan has, you know, has a playbook that he's used for Jimmy G as the starter for full seasons for multiple years. You sort of wonder, was there a, you know, did he have to go back and sort of rebuild the playbook for Jimmy G's strengths based off of, you know, like, you know, he had, like, you build a playbook coming into the season that's designed around Trey Lance as your starter. And there's just a lot of different plays because you're going to be a little more vertical. You're going to involve more running.
Well, to Breach's point, you're not more vertical, right?
Well, Trey Lance, you are.
Oh, yeah, not with Jimmy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the playbook for Trey Lance and Jimmy G are different. Also, Jimmy G didn't have any reps with his teammates, so maybe his timing was off because he was throwing the football by himself on the practice field. You know, I do think that there is a certain 49ers own the Rams element to this matchup. I
seven, also think, 7-1 says as much. Yes,
absolutely. And I mean, there were just times where we'll get to the Rams in a minute, but it felt like Jimmy G was just giving comfort throws here. And Peyton Manning highlighted it in the Manning cast leading up to it.
Are you putting too much into having to change the playbook? I mean, all you do is
I'm just saying that
you just flip to the last chapter of the playbook.
I'm saying you're pulling the Trey Lance pages out and you're putting more Jimmy G pages in, and like involving short, like the screen to Debo is a great example. It's a 1 yard pass. Actually, no, he had a,
he threw it down the field a little bit.
Sorry. That was a 7 yard pass. But then the screen later on third and long that picked up 40 yards was a quick 1 yard pass. You get
the Juszczyk pass.
What?
The one to Juszczyk? That one?
That one too. No. There was a Debo screen for just a quick. You get the ball, you snap the ball, turn and fire to Debo and just let him run.
Yeah.
I think that there's a redeveloping, you know, I mean, Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, and everyone had moved on. You know, Jimmy G was going somewhere else. He's getting traded.
He came back before the season. I mean, this isn't like he just showed up last week and he had been gone for
years. But he didn't take part in training camp. I mean, remember he was off to the side just like playing solitaire.
But he's been there since 2017. You guys are acting like he was in a coma for 4 years and he just rolled into camp 2 days ago.
Or coming for like 6 months, maybe. I'm just saying there's just a chemistry that comes in. Look at Matthew Stafford and Allen Robinson. I mean, you know, he hadn't been there as long, obviously, but there's just a chemistry that comes into play with all this. And your offensive line is being changed up because Trent Williams is hurt, et cetera. Alex Mack is gone. I'm just saying, like,
okay. No, I think those things are a bigger issue than, like, the Jimmy G thing not practicing in August. I don't care about because he was hurt anyway.
I'm just saying that the 49ers offense, just the way it operates with the Kyle Shanahan style scheme, there is a little more, like, I don't want to sound like really cheesy here, but like a little more symphonic unison to it.
Oh God, that was way cheesy.
I'm just saying that, like, I think.
Let me ask you this: last week's performance, had that happened in 2019, you'd be like, that's just Jimmy G being Jimmy G, right? It wasn't wrong.
We're going to get some of those games though. Like, Jimmy G's going to have some of those games.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not buying too much into this. By the way, O Plus in the comments notes, Jimmy G's record is 46-18. Stop it. He does win a lot of football games, and I don't know, either you or Breach said it at some point on Twitter or in Slack or somewhere. Prisco said this: if Jaquaski Tartt hadn't dropped the thing, it'd have been Super Bowl, yada, yada, yada. So an opportunity for even another win. So, yeah, Jimmy D does – he's a part of winning football teams.
Good point by Miguel Lampiris in the chat, too. And I wrote this down in my notes, is that the touchdown to Debo – I mean, the Mannings were like, maybe Jimmy threw it high on purpose, knowing the corner might
come. So Troy Aikman said, too.
Yeah, right. Like, he sailed that pass a little bit. If he throws it straight into the guy's hands, it's a pick six.
It felt like, compared to last week and to average Jimmy, he was more dialed in terms of the accuracy tonight. But again, I cannot offer this disclaimer enough, like on the old school pack of cigarettes. I'm not buying it, and, you know, it is hazardous to your health.
I think the new cigarettes still also have warning labels on.
Yeah, I haven't bought a pack of cigarettes in 30 years. But, you know, Jimmy G's hazardous to your health long term is my point.
I think he actually had the exact same completion percentage as last week. He just didn't have the mistakes, wasn't under as much pressure. Offensive line played better. They got the ball out quicker. And that's, and
by the way, the defense balled out. That's probably the lead story. I mean, we like to talk about Debo.
Oh, for sure.
Debo's the lead story, I think. And then probably Jimmy's maybe a distant second. And then I think the defense is 2A for me.
Oh, I think the defense could even be number one. I mean, the number one story could actually be the Rams offensive line.
I'm talking about
that's the number one Rams story. But I feel like the 49ers offense is the number one story just because how much they struggled the first 3 weeks of the season. And so for them to turn it around, like, we have seen teams destroy the Rams offensive line before. The Bills had 7 sacks in week one. So, like, the 49ers played awesome, but the Rams haven't. I mean, like I said before the podcast, as someone who's a fan of a team who had a sucky offensive line last year, you can tell when someone's offensive line is bad, when the quarterback doesn't trust him, when he thinks he's going to get hit on every play, and it kind of starts to seep into everything they do. And the Rams could have played this game for 12 quarters, and I'm not sure they would have scored 15 points. They just couldn't do anything offensively against this 49ers defense.
Right. If you told me this was the Bears, the Steelers, I would have believed you in terms of where that offense played, because it was hard to watch. But the difference is, and we talked this before the podcast as well, Breach, is that the Rams are down to offensive linemen number 18 through 25 on the depth chart. Like, they didn't have a chance.
6.7 yards per attempt, or yards per play, excuse me, versus 3 point for the 49ers versus 3.5 for the Rams. That's the first downs favor the Rams, but they had the ball longer, I think, just because of, you know, how the game played out in the pick six. 327 yards for the Niners and 257 for the Rams. Like, it was an ass kicking, and it really shouldn't have been as close as it was, honestly. Like, no. It was 17-9. Field goal. And
about midway through the fourth quarter? The score was, what was it? 14. 5 points. Early in the fourth. Sorry. Thank you, Bruce. 5 point difference. The 49ers were up, fourth and goal from the two. I think that instead of going for it on fourth and goal from the two, up by five, the 49ers decided to kick a field goal. Interestingly, Kyle Shanahan took a delay game penalty. Part of me thinks he did that on purpose to have to avoid answering questions about why didn't you go for it on fourth and two when it was instead fourth and seven from the seven or the nine or wherever it was. I think you go for it there because if you go up eight, again, it's a one-score game. Yes, they haven't been able to score, but if you're, again, the same thing yesterday we talked about the Rams, just don't throw an interception in the end zone. Worst case scenario, you're making Matthew Stafford have to go 98 yards with 1.3 offensive linemen.
Yeah, I could go either way on that one. I think it's, I'm not surprised that Kyle Shanahan kicked. I like the idea of being aggressive up five, knowing they have to get a touchdown anyway, knowing how well your defense is playing, going for it. The game is over if you get that touchdown in. But at the same time, I think it was Steph Curry was on with the Mannings. He was like, they're playing the scoreboard, which I also get because you're up five, you're 1-2, you've lost your starting quarterback of the year, you just lost your starting left tackle. Your team has outplayed the Rams so, like you really just destroyed the Rams the entire game. Go up eight and force them to go get their first touchdown of the night.
And I think that plays a big part of it when, you know, because we always talk about the analytics of it, but the coach is also, you have to take into account like the feeling of the game and what's currently happening in the situation. And as we've already talked about, the 49ers defense was just destroying the Rams.
But when Breach, that lends itself to why don't you trust yourself?
Well, no. So that means you kick the field goal and worst case scenario, the Rams tie the game at 18 or at 17, but they have to go get the touchdown and a 2-point conversion, and then you're going to get the ball back with a chance to take the lead. And that's only if the Rams do something they had not done up to that point, which is score a touchdown. And well, to Brinson's point, real quick, he said he wasn't surprised that Shanahan kicked the field goal. That was the fourth time this year the 49ers have tried a field goal from inside 25 yards. That is tied for the most in the NFL with the Raiders. So that's
let me ask you guys
one more quick point on that too. It's like, if you're Kyle Shanahan and you're thinking, all right, Jimmy's played really well. If I kick this field goal, we're up eight. You know, we're going to get the ball back with plenty of time, could go down, burn some clock, get a field goal range, and win the game.
In which case that happened, and guess what happened?
Yeah, Robbie Gould missed it. I know. But I'm saying, well, he can miss. Field goals are missed. My point is that if, let's say you go for it and you get stuffed, and Stafford... I mean, Cooper Kupp could break one. I mean, it didn't feel like the Rams were going to go score, but if you're up five and the Rams go score and they're all of a sudden they're up three and they get the 2-point conversion.
Oh, he needs a field goal. But instead, if you're up, whatever the math is,
I agree with you 100% on what the analytics would tell you to do and what I think is probably the right move. But I think that this is one of those situations where the way the game was being played, and if you go down 3 points all of a sudden after you've outplayed them and you're asking Jimmy G to go win the game or tie the game for you.
Here's the thing. I understand what you guys are saying, but either you trust the analytics or you don't. I'm not saying it's black or white, because when you're black, you're John Harbaugh, and then you end up doing incredibly stupid things because you just trust the analytics to the point of absurdity. But I think it makes sense in the long run to err towards the side of being aggressive. And by aggressive, I mean following the analytics. Not 100% in that instance. And you guys are laying out the case for why our defense is kicking their ass. Matthew Stafford, he might throw one to Cooper Kupp. I guarantee you they could have 100 series with that offensive line tonight. Cooper Kupp will score one touchdown in 100 series. So if you feel confident that your guys can get after it, and you have a lot of guys can get after it, you go for it. Make Matthew Stafford have the ball at the 2-yard line and see what he does. I know what's going to happen.
But maybe Jimmy throws an interception and there's a touchback.
Well, again, you have to have the Lamar Jackson conversation with him.
Kyle Shanahan is also notoriously, again, as Bree pointed out.
Well, that's what drives me crazy. He and Sean McVay both.
But like you said, either you're in or you're out. And Kyle Shanahan appears to be out. So
that's the other thing. Like, we shouldn't be surprised. Like, he and Sean McVay both are like, look, I'm crazy.
They're what people like to call fake sharps.
Right. He goes, I'm crazy till I get inside the 35 yard line. And then I'm going to become Pete Prisco. And that's how it's going to be.
I fully get embracing analytics and going for it on that fourth and short and putting the game away.
You can sort of tweak it. I get that. But yeah, we're conservative once we get inside the red zone.
Yeah. It didn't matter
tonight, but you know, it's one of those things when it does bite them, you're like, well, why don't you do it? And we'll have to talk about it.
Do you want to talk some more game theory?
I'm just kidding. No, I just want to hear you say.
Let's talk about this 49ers defense, because
yes, Scott Murphy in the comments. God help us, Billy's talking about game theory.
49ers defense, their linebackers fly around. Nick Bosa is playing extremely well. Eric Armstead was ruled out for the game. I don't know how serious we expect that injury to be. That would be a problem. But this defense looks very good. D'Amico Ryan's probably going to get a head coaching job maybe as soon as next year. Certainly in the near future. And the defense for the Niners coupled with that run game and Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to be a point guard and Kyle Shanahan's play calling, add in the Rams, you know, look like they're not going to be an elite team just based solely on their offensive line, if nothing
else. Also, before you go to that side, I'll just shout out to Hulanoa Tofanga. Guy's been balling out.
Yeah.
I watched him play at USC, and this, again, lesson learned. I liked him a lot more, and I was talked out of liking him as much as I should have. He's good.
That's pretty good. So
he had the interception. Fred Warner almost had another one at the end of the game there. But, yeah, go ahead.
And the Cardinals don't look like they're that great a team, and the Seahawks.
What about that last team?
I already said that. I already told you I bet the Seahawks win the division. I'm just saying that the 49ers very much after, like, the Trey Lance injury was like, well, now we got to reevaluate. Like, they could be right back in the mix in a very weakened NFC with a weakened NFC West. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, this is just essentially the same team that made the deep run last year. You got to get Trent Williams back probably. But it's just interesting how quickly things turn in the NFL.
Yeah. And again, 4 weeks in, we have no idea what the hell we're talking about based on our preseason predictions.
Right. But if the Niners lose that game tonight and they're 1-3 and the Rams are 3-1, this is sort of like how it's why it's stupid. We don't overreact to 1 week, but the difference, I mean, it's like the NC State Clemson game. Like, we were like, well, if we win this game, we're top five in the country. And like, we were like, everything's on the table. Now we're like, well, you know, just blow up college football. Like, who cares? Like, it's over. Everything's over.
Expand the playoffs.
Yeah, no, don't expand the playoffs. The point being is that if you were betting right now on who the favorite is to win this division, it's probably the Niners.
Breach. Who's the better quarterback? Who's the better quarterback right now?
Oh boy, Geno Smith or
in the NFC West? Am I ranking all the quarterbacks? Well,
why don't you use your question and throw us to a break?
After the break, Breach, I want you to tell me who the better quarterback is right now, this moment. Jimmy Garoppolo, Eugene Cyril, Geno Smith III. After the break,
next.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, so the question remains, Breach: Geno Smith or Jimmy Garoppolo?
I don't know how you can rank quarterbacks in the NFC West. If you look at all four,
it's actually really hard to do.
I'm asking about those two. I'm not asking you to rank them. I'm asking who do you want to start here? You
put Kyler and Stafford in the mix. I'm like, what's your 1-4?
So Stafford's playing.
If I had to start a game tomorrow based on what I've seen for the first 4 weeks, I am probably taking Geno.
Yeah!
Wow!
Is that what you wanted to hear?
Geno's better.
Are we talking like everybody gets what's around them right now, or everybody gets like the same?
Well, pick a middle of the road team. Like, what's a middle of the road team?
No, they all get the Bengals offense.
Well, yeah, the Rams and the Seahawks. Like, the Seahawks offensive line is very good now, and the Rams offensive line is very bad.
Yeah, but the
Kyle Shanahan's a great play caller.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, everything else is the same. Same coach, same. So, you know, they have Zach Taylor and they have the Bengals offense.
I'm just dropping everybody in the Bengals. I'm still taking Stafford.
Stafford's not in the mix. It's Jimmy G and Geno.
I'm sorry, I thought we were doing all four.
I said that like four times. Jock. Do people still say that?
Sometimes.
I'm probably taking Geno because I think that Jimmy G is probably more of a byproduct. Like, if you're taking each one out of their own environment.
What I'm hearing is that Jimmy G, Geno transcends the system. Exactly. Why am I such a, what did the kids say? Why am I such a Geno stan now? Did I say that right?
Yeah, how did that happen?
When T-Bell was talking up Carson Wentz.
When the Steelers didn't have a quarterback and now you're dreaming of Geno. I dream of Geno. That's going to be the new Ryan Wilson podcast.
That's a good old people's joke. Only you and I get that breach, but I would trade Kenny Pickett for Geno Smith right now. I'll tell you.
Random, did you realize that that there's a new Fletch movie?
Who's in it?
John Hamm. He was talking about the Mandy cast. I had no idea. It's called it's getting really good reviews.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
It's not a rebooted sequel. It's like another. It's one of the other books that was written about Fletch that.
Okay.
It's in Boston, and I'm in on it. So Debo Samuel, Debo Samuel, Cooper Kupp.
That's a good one. I'm gonna have to step off this Hunter Renfrow thing. I think Cooper Kupp might be better than Hunter Renfrow after tonight's game.
You think that's right?
14 catches, 19 targets, 122 yards. The only offense. Allen Robinson might as well be wearing an invisibility cloak because I didn't see that. I almost called him an MF-er. I didn't see that dude out there at all tonight. One target, one catch, 7 yards. I mean, come on, man.
A couple of people in the chat are pointing out that Ryan Wilson, Greg Rosenthal, and Stephen Ruiz are the true Geno stands. Let's be clear. No one has stand harder for Geno Smith than Greg Rosenthal over the last like 5 years. It's like a bit with Greg. I mean, he is a Geno.
He didn't play until last year. And last year he was
hyping Geno up like when Geno was backing up the Rivers on the Chargers, I think.
God, he was on the Chargers, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, he was bad last year. He's like replacement level, and then this year he's been like, I think he's 11th in DVOA. You're
covering the Geno here. I'm just telling you, Greg Rosenthal. This is like his.
No, I get it. That's sort of like a crazy thing you do, and then it actually ends up being true.
Are you surprised at how little they are using Debo Samuel out of the backfield?
Maybe Debo doesn't want that, and he's still plenty effective.
He gets the rushing bonuses. I don't think he cares.
But he's plenty effective wherever they give him the ball.
That's the rushing bonuses aren't huge. They're not, I'm going to take 10 carries a game and get my butt kicked. Huge. I think he's more than happy saying, you know what, why don't you throw me a pass 1 yard downfield, let me catch it in space, and I'll do my own thing.
That's right.
He's so, the play where he didn't score, it was down to the one, and then they ended up having to kick because they ran Jeff Wilson once. They ran Jeff Wilson twice, got stuffed. Bobby Wagner had a great tackle on Debo. They ran Jeff Wilson, and then they had the Kittle gets his feet out of bounds. But Debo caught the ball at the four and made this just insanely strong spin move towards the end zone that someone his size and his position shouldn't be doing through linebackers. He's so different and physical and explosive in just unique ways. Like he's one of my favorite players in all football.
That was Bobby Wagner. Bobby Wagner came in there and made sure that Debo wasn't getting in the end zone.
But your point, Breach, Jeff Wilson had 18 carries for 74 yards. Debo had 6 catches for 115. What is, what's less wear and tear in your body? It's Debo running through Jalen Ramsey arm tackles as opposed to getting hit by a bunch of linebackers. I think that's Breach's point, and I'm sure it's Debo's point. I'm good. He had 2 carries for 2 yards. And,
I'm just curious because, last year the offense sort of stalled.
And he was pissed about it.
They went to Debo, yeah. But I'm just wondering if they're going to – I would bet that Kyle Shanahan has it saved up. Good Lord. Allen Robinson or Kenny Golladay.
Oh, my gosh.
I run the single wing.
Who is the worst receiver in Bengals history? I would take that person over whoever.
Jeff Query.
Chris Collinsworth. Chris Collinsworth right now or Allen Robinson?
Chris Collinsworth. Not even, no questions asked. No, I don't think so.
So the Rams have problems.
Hold on, quickly. No Debo. Debo's not going to be running the ball anymore, only because
I think he'll be saving it for a big game.
Kyle Shanahan's the running game genius based on his dad's history, why you don't need Debo? You can do Jeff Wilson.
I'm just telling you, I think that there's going to be a game that they really need And they're going to come out and have a Debo package just out of nowhere.
I predict Debo Samuels gets zero carries for the rest of his career. Next question.
Okay, I will bet you any amount of money on that.
Oh, my God. That's the worst prediction in the history of this show.
John Ross or Kenny Galladay?
John Ross. John, I don't know if he's still in the league.
Actually, the worst prediction in the history of the show was Debo, Eric, whatever his last name is.
Debo Dinos.
I don't know. He's dead to me.
The worst prediction was Wilson saying that there's no way the Steelers could lose to Ryan Finley.
That's what I was saying.
Okay, that was the worst prediction, right? Yeah. Did we find out if we won the podcast award? Probably not.
Debo left before he could.
If you have to ask, my guess would be.
Yeah, I don't think he won.
Billy from the top rope.
October 3rd. We haven't heard. I guess Debo said he had news about it.
Well, what was the worst bet that Debo made?
The worst prediction
that LaVisca Chenault would be out of the NFL by this time next year.
Oh, well,
I mean, that's very bad. Like, it's going to require
the dude got traded and he wasn't very good in Jacksonville. And he had one long run. In
Scott Murphy points out the worst prediction is Jake Fromm being the number one overall pick in the draft.
Ooh, yeah. Who said that?
Oh, me. But I said that
said that in the comments. I want to give him a shout out.
So Tom is saying we won. I don't think we won.
Tom is trying to get with this pick.
Scott Murphy.
What's that?
Oh, Scott Murphy. Way to go, Scott. Yeah. Thank you for.
Maybe Tom is saying, Scott, you won.
Yeah.
All right, what's your panic level for the Rams here?
Well,
Trey Sermon having a huge year last year. That could be the worst prediction of all time.
I love that they all know these.
He's a Philadelphia Eagle now. So
I know. Yeah,
you were half right.
Yeah.
That was a weird draft pick, too. My concern level for the Rams is pretty high, not because of Matthew Stafford, who had a terrible fourth quarter, but because, as we've mentioned earlier, this offensive line, these are guys that have played, some of them, 2 weeks of football. Like, you're so far down the depth chart that there are huge concerns of not being able to run your offense. At halftime, Sean McVay talked about making mental mistakes, but I think, you know, the mouth said one thing, and the eyes are saying, oh, my God, this offensive line, I don't even know half these guys' names.
Oh, morning comment.
I agree with we always talk about the concern level on a scale of 1 to 10. I would say it's like an 8.3 with the Rams, because not only are you 2-2, and again, after watching the Bengals play all last season with no offensive line and kind of seeing the same thing happen with the Rams, except if you take Cooper Kupp out, Matthew Stafford doesn't really have anyone else to throw. He's targeting his tight end on every other pass. Tyler Higbee. 14
targets.
Right. So it just doesn't seem sustainable trying to do that. I mean, you know, Joe Burrow had three solid receivers and Matthew Stafford just doesn't have that. And so he gets under pressure. He looks for Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's not open. The play falls apart. The offense falls apart. Stafford gets sacked. And so it just feels like you look at their schedule. They have to play the Cowboys. Cowboys have, I think, the second or third most sacks in the NFL. They put pressure on the quarterback. They have to play the 49ers again in like 3 weeks. They have to play the Buccaneers. Like, this is a rough, rough schedule over the next few weeks.
Scott Murphy asks, any chance Andrew Whitworth leaves the TNF sideline studio to come back and help out his good buddy?
No, it's not a bad idea, but no chance. He's like, oh my God, I'm making so much money doing it.
Well, he's 40. He probably hasn't lifted any weights on purpose, you know, in 6 months. The thing is, he'd probably be the best offensive lineman of the group they have of the backups.
If the Rams call him and say, Andrew, we will give you $25 million for the last 13 games of the season, he might say yes.
But the extreme version of that is Sean McVay calling you and asking you the same question. The difference, you would take it, but your body just wouldn't be able to hold up for different reasons. But
remember when, this is not me trolling, I'm being serious. Like, I felt like the Rams were about to blow out the Bengals in the Super Bowl. And then Odell Beckham got hurt. And it was like the Rams offense completely fell apart. I think they're still dealing with the same issues where they don't have that secondary weapon for Matthew Stafford to throw to. And in addition, the offensive line is completely decimated and it's just not like, if you're playing a team with a good pass rush, it's just going to be a problem. Stafford led the league in interceptions last year. He's going to throw picks. That's what he does. He's not afraid to
the over under was a half today. I don't know why they keep making it a half. Well,
so the alternative to calling Whitworth is to call Odell and be like, hey man, when's your knee heal? We need you back here now.
I don't think that matters, though.
To me, the more problematic thing is the being second in sacks than the interceptions. Like, he's going to throw picks. That's just part of his game plan. But like,
it's a hell of a game plan.
Well, he's just an aggressive thrower. But the fact if he's under that much pressure,
right?
I mean, nobody's going to be good under that much pressure.
Breaches.
Well, like, I mean, again, like I'm saying this. That's what I'm. That's I brought up the Bengals twice because it's very similar. Joe Burrow was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL last year. He threw, I think, the fifth most interceptions in the NFL last year. But to mine and Brinson's point, he had other weapons to throw to where Stafford needs that Odell. He needs someone else. It can't just be Cooper Kupp because he just doesn't have time.
Didn't they just pay Allen Robinson a bunch of money?
Yeah, there's no.
And that one's backfiring in their face. And that I think
there's time for Allen Robinson to develop as a player for them. Like,
like a week and a half. After that, things are getting. If they're 2-4, you're starting to get worried.
Right, but you're not gonna like. I wouldn't drop Allen Robinson in fantasy if I had him. I would.
Hold oh, okay.
That's I already what, have.
Dang, it depends
on the league, obviously. I just think there is.
He done.
Okay. Here's the thing about the Rams. I think the panic level is perfectly fine if you're like a 5+ on the panic level on a scale.
What's your panic level score? I'm at 8.3.
Yeah, Breach is at 8.3.
I was going to say 6.9.
But it's 8.3 or thereabouts between 8.3 and 6.9 for me solely because of the offensive line. If the offensive line was 85% healthy, then I'm not worried about this game at all.
Well, all right. Let me ask you guys this. The two Super Bowl teams, because you guys were mocking me 2 weeks ago because the Bengals were 0-2, last place in the AFC North. If you had to pick one Super Bowl team from last year, they're both 2-2, that is going to make the playoffs and one is going to miss it. Who do you feel better about?
The Bengals. I mean, I never was high on the Rams anyway. I had the Bengals going to the playoffs before the season. I think I had the Ravens winning the division. But, I'm man enough to admit that teams in the division that aren't the Steelers are good, Breach, something you have yet to be able to master.
Yeah, I mean, the Bengals and the Ravens are good. The Browns look, And
the Browns are not good.
Yeah, the Browns are not good. They're not getting Watson back.
Steelers turning around a month from now. You guys all be eating your words.
I would have to deal with the Browns and the Steelers and the Seahawks and the Cardinals.
Wait, yeah, you said that again?
I would rather deal with the Browns and the Steelers.
Oh, right,
the Seahawks,
that's Cardinals. Right.
Conversely, though, or
100%.
I would rather be in the NFC than the AFC.
Also agree. And maybe the NFC West instead of the AFC North.
Yeah. I think if you're the
NFC West and AFC North both have zero teams above 500.
Yeah.
That's cray cray in the Bray Bray, as the kids say.
Cray cray.
I mean, just look at the NFC and you've got the Bucks who are
trending down.
Okay. But the Bucks are what, two? Are the Bucks 2-2?
2-2. Yeah, they're 2-2.
I mean, you got the Eagles, okay. We all agree that Dallas and New York, one of those teams is going to take a little step backwards. One's probably going to make the playoffs. The Vikings and Green Bay are a problem, but Chicago, Detroit, we're not worried about. Tampa, I don't. It's hard to see Atlanta like really making a playoff run.
Disrespect Arthur Smith at your own peril.
The Falcons to me have this 2008 Miami Dolphins feel where they're running this crazy little offense that no one can quite figure out. And they're just gashing people up. And, maybe they
were passion on IR doesn't help.
Mariota, just let me say quickly. Marcus Mariota is second in the league in interceptions behind Brinson's dude, Matt Ryan.
So I'm feeling a lot better about a path to a playoff spot as a 2-2 team.
For whom?
For the Rams and for the Bengals.
No.
Based on the conference.
Oh, so you just did a whole circle to answer my original question that you think the Rams have a better shot at the playoffs than the Bengals?
If you're just looking at the conferences and the record, yes. But the Bengals are playing a ton better than they were in week one. The Rams are playing slightly worse.
Yeah. Rams have two bad losses against the Bills and the 49ers, who both look like they're going to be playoff teams.
But the offensive line is the thing that's not going to fix itself. That's the problem.
But the Bengals have the offensive line issues too.
I think their offensive line is getting better. They played better last week.
Okay. Are the Rams definitely getting worse?
Yeah. And clearly, the Bengals had the better coach.
There's a path.
Oh, Lord.
God almighty, don't say things you can't take back. All right. Any other thoughts on the Rams?
No, they just got to get healthy. I mean, I can't even necessarily blame the defense. One was a pick six, so they only gave up 17 points. I mean, last season, that's more than enough points.
And the Debo touchdown could have been...
Aaron Donald was a non-factor.
Tackling
so,
issues.
Yeah, tackling.
The Jeff Wilson thing came on a play when Aaron Donald was out. It's the defense needs to get better pretty quickly. I think they can do that.
The offense, that's a bigger issue.
I think writing off the Rams would be as foolish as writing off the 49ers last week, which it's easy to write teams off early in the season as they're sort of figuring out who they are.
All right, let's say Jimmy G stays healthy the entire season and their record ends up being like it was last year, whatever that was, and they go to the playoffs. And they win a playoff game and they get to the divisional round, let's say.
I don't know what the hell. You're still going to go Trey Lance.
Trey Lance next year, Breach?
For the 49ers? Wait, how far do the 49ers get?
They win their first round matchup, the wild card, go to the divisional round, they lose there in a close game or whatever.
I think the only way they would even consider keeping Jimmy Garoppolo is if they won the Super Bowl.
Or go to the Super Bowl.
No, they've already been to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, and Kyle Shanahan still wanted to move on. So I think you have to win it, and that's it.
I don't even think that's enough. I think that Shanahan, and this is me speculating,
the Super Bowl, get lost, Jimmy.
What if you win the Super Bowl, Jimmy throws for 310 yards and 4 touchdowns?
Is it just a one-year deal? They only have been a one-year deal, right?
Yeah, this is it. This is the final year of his contract.
You can't even franchise.
This is the contract where he gets $350,000.
Yeah, exactly.
$350,000 bonus every time he wins.
David Tepper comes in and gives Jimmy G like $400 million over 5 years.
And he wins five games over those 5 years.
Yeah, just because he won the Super Bowl. The 49ers are like, well, we can't. You're a free agent. Go do what you want. He's like, I'm going to go get so paid and live in Charlotte for 3 years in hell.
Is there any one last thing? No, we can go. Any division? Actually, there are a lot of divisions. Which division is the hardest to predict at this point? I mean, the AFC North, as Breach noted, AFC North and AFC West have no teams above 500. The AFC South have no teams above 500. The NFC South have no teams above 500. Holy crap. I think of those four divisions, I don't know which one is the most.
I think it's either NFC West or
AFC South.
The two hardest are AFC North or
AFC North.
AFC North, AFC South are the two hardest than NFC West. If you have to pick the winner or else you die.
Yeah.
My God.
I don't do that.
Is that like,
I'm out.
The tattoo thing, except taken to the next level.
Take it to the next level.
Oh, like there's no
stuff tattoo breach.
You don't get weird with it. Like you've got to make it.
I love that it's not getting weird. That the end result is that you get killed.
You live or die. Like you're picking Buffalo to win the AFC East, right? You're not gonna be like Miami. Like you're not gonna a hot take on Miami.
I'm bowing out. What's the alternative? I just bow out because that's what I'm doing.
Your life's on the line. You're taking the Chiefs. If your life's on the line, you're taking the Eagles. Life's on the line. You're taking the Packers. Bucks. So I think that the three hard ones are AFC North, AFC South, and then
that's
AFC West.
If my wife's on the line, I'm taking the Bengals.
Oh boy!
You want to get down?
Get it over with.
Die happy. Die happy.
No, 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 you die unhappy because not only did the Bengals not win the division, you die.
The Bengals literally killed you. That's how bad they were.
That's how it's going to be anyway. So that's fine.
If I were guessing in those divisions, I would say Baltimore, Jacksonville and San Francisco. A little biased because I had those before the season, but those would be my picks.
I might take Tennessee.
Bengals, Titans, 49ers for me.
Okay. Awesome.
Wilson, who are your three? Bengals.
Come back tomorrow and I'll tell you.
Yeah.
All right.
What a tease.
That's it. Leave your winners in the comments.
And I'm not coming back tomorrow either.
Deathbed in the comments. Wilson, we'll get Wilson's deathbed later. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For Wilson, for Breach, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount+.